Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 40 degrees, rainy and windy this morning. Today's Monday, December 12, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The hearing into a Coast Guard pilot's alleged negligence is over. The Article 32 proceeding wrapped up Friday afternoon in Juneau after the last round of witnesses. Lieutenant Lance Leone is the only survivor of last year's fatal Coast Guard helicopter crash off the coast of Washington State. In addition to the previous accusations of negligence and dereliction of duty, Leone is also being investigated for another dereliction count because he allegedly failed to adequately question the pilot of the flight. KTOO's Matt Miller prepared this report.
When the natives had pulled him out, they said, "Those stupid wires." So he had no idea that they hit wires. He crashed and he had no idea why.
Ellen Leone describing the first words that her husband Lance heard when he was rescued by members of the Quileute tribe in Washington in July of last year, moments after his H-60 helicopter ran into a set of power lines and crashed. Those wires were actually owned and operated by the Coast Guard to power nearby marine aids to navigation. Leone was the co-pilot, while the pilot at the controls was Lieutenant Sean Kruger. He was killed in the crash, along with aviation maintenance technicians Adam Hoke and Brett Banks. Attorneys in the case did not comment outside of the courtroom, but Leone's civilian defense attorney, John M. Smith, said during hearing's closing comments that the power lines were implicated in at least two other accidents. Said Smith, the U.S. Coast Guard set a trap that was spring-loaded and that had already worked twice before. Coast Guard Lieutenant Stanley Fields, government counsel in the case, said Leone showed no reasonable duty of care as navigator and co-pilot of that flight. Ellen Leone disputes that.
I'm very proud of my husband's career that he has had in the Coast Guard. You know, he's done a great job doing his duty. And unfortunately, this was a tragic accident that occurred that nobody could have foreseen. I believe that what the government is doing here is wrong, and I hope that they can see that.
Pat Coyle believes Leone certainly would have called out the wires if he had seen them, and he had a dim view of the evidence brought up by the government.
No matter what negligence, I don't think the crime fits the punishment, no matter what negligence you point at the guy.
Coyle is a commercial medical airlift pilot, and while based in Sitka last year, he befriended a young Coast Guard aviator, a fellow rotorhead. At first, he didn't know that he was the sole survivor of CG-6017.
I just know that that's got to jolt your confidence a little when something like that happens to you.
There are two children in the Leone family, and Ellen says she's due with another boy in April. She's thankful for the support that they've received from around the country. It's included Juneau-based Coast Guard's men and women who took leave to attend the hearing. They declined to go on tape or have their names used in a story, but they said they knew Leone or served with him at previous duty stations. One person in particular was a civilian who had traveled all the way from Florida.
I am here to support Lance and their family and to let them know that there are many, many people out there that support them and that somehow good will come from this situation.
Kyla Kruger is the mother of three children and wife of Lieutenant Sean Kruger, the pilot in command during that fateful flight. She also said this was a chance to hear everything firsthand since the Coast Guard didn't really tell her much about the crash.
I think it's a lot to process. That is honestly where my mind is, that I am still just trying to process what I had learned through the media prior to now and what I'm learning as what they're claiming to be fact and what they're claiming to be opinion. But answers will come eventually.
That jingle that you just heard, that was her husband's wedding band that he wore on a chain around his neck. She now wears it after adding her own band and engagement ring, her hand going up to touch it whenever she talks about Sean, how they met while he was at the academy, or about how he was picked for a pilot exchange with the Royal Navy. There has been much speculation, but no real definitive explanation offered, that one reason Leone was not charged with Kruger's death is because Kruger was just as responsible. He was at the controls, and some of the testimony centered on his low overflight of a Coast Guard motor lifeboat in Tribute moments before the crash. There was also an accusation by prosecutors that he was flying too low to begin with, even though cruising at 250 feet off the deck is considered standard practice in Alaska's poor weather. Kyla Kruger says some of that was not easy to hear at first, but
I trust in that my husband did his job to the best of his ability every day. So in this particular case, he was still doing his job, and he was doing something he loved to do until they hit that wire.
Ellen Leone is also confident that her husband did his job well, but she suspects that the whole proceeding will have a chilling effect on other service members. She believes her husband is being prosecuted because he was the sole survivor in the last of series of accidents in the previous year, some of them fatal, suffered by Coast Guard H-60s, H-65s, and a C-130 aircraft.
Doesn't bode well, I don't think, to other pilots in the Coast Guard to say that if you survive an accident, no matter what you did or didn't do, watch out, because they might come after you. You know, that's kind of hard for other pilots to accept because, you know, every day they go out on a mission risking their lives.
It's impossible to predict what the investigating officer's recommendations will be and whether Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, the convening authority in the case, will call for a court-martial, discipline Leone administratively, or just drop the charges. That could be several months away. But the far future? Flying friend Pat Coyle doesn't need a crystal ball or tea leaves for that. It's much easier to figure out.
His flying career is by no means over, regardless of what happens here.
You think so?
No.
It just may not be in the Coast Guard, though.
That's correct. This is a bump in the road. I can guarantee you there's a lot of outfits that would grab up a guy like him in a heartbeat.
Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The incoming president and CEO of the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium says he's looking forward to getting reacquainted with Southeast, the region where he grew up. But Charles Clement also acknowledges that it's an uncertain time for the field of healthcare, and that a large part of his job will be preparing the nonprofit Tribal Health Consortium to handle whatever curves are in the road ahead. KCAW's Ed Ronco has this interview.
Southeast Alaska is nothing new to Charles Clement. He grew up in Metlakatla, but he says it's been 15 years since he lived in the region, and so when he takes over as CEO of Search in February, his first task will be to get his bearings and refamiliarize himself with local issues.
A lot of things change over those times. I spend a lot of time there because my family still lives there, so I'm back many times a year, but there's a difference between being a visitor and being a resident.
Clement will be based in Juneau and will oversee a $115 million nonprofit tribal health consortium. Search works in 18 communities, and with 1,000 employees, it's the largest private employer in the panhandle. Clement joined Search from the South Central Foundation in Anchorage, where he was vice president and chief operating officer. The foundation jointly owns and co-manages the Alaska Native Medical Center in partnership with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. That's the organization that hired away Search's current president and CEO, Roald Helgeson. He starts up there in mid-December. Clement says his experience at the South Central Foundation will translate well to working at Search.
I think Search is in a very similar position as are many tribal organizations around the state.
That is to say, an uncertain one.
There's a tremendous amount of uncertainty about what the future holds for all of us in healthcare, and you know, all of us as patients and recipients of healthcare services. I mean, I think these are sort of murky times. We don't know exactly what's going to happen.
He says healthcare organizations nationwide are heading into uncharted waters as the government hammers out healthcare reform and federal budget issues. But he also says those uncertain times are balanced against regional organizations like Search that are becoming more sophisticated and adapting.
You know, Search has really historically been a leader in that category, and I think, you know, really sort of trying to position Search to sort of be able to deal with what's coming down the line with, you know, the Affordable Care Act and the budgetary considerations. As Search is a large federal contractor, you know, the budgetary considerations on what's going to happen with the budget crisis in Washington, D.C., working proactively with the state of Alaska to try to ensure that we maximize, you know, any opportunities to position search for you know, future growth and development of services.
Clement's bachelor's degree is in economics and political science, and he holds a Master of Public Administration degree from the University of Alaska Anchorage. He says he's drawn to the healthcare industry because it's an opportunity to impact a community, whether by providing services to patients or by dealing with the larger questions about the role of healthcare in society.
There's nothing easy about it. And I do enjoy, you know, sort of working with people to sort of collectively try to resolve these problems and issues. I mean, not that we have the answers, but being a part of the conversation is a great privilege.
Helgeson, the current Search CEO, leaves his post on December 16th. Search General Counsel Ken Truitt will serve as interim president until Clement arrives in February. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear our complete conversation with Charles Clement online at kcaw.org. A proposal to require permits for subsistence herring roe harvesters was unanimously rejected by the Sitka Fish and Game Advisory Committee last week. The proposal was brought forward by the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance. Steve Reifenstuhl is its executive director. He says he introduced the idea for subsistence roe permits because claims of a poor harvest have been used as a wedge issue against the fishery.
Throughout the state, it's not required to have a permit or to weigh or show your harvest, and I fully support that. But when the harvest is being used to try to shut down a fishery or curtail the fishery or to restrict the area where it can fish, then it's a whole different matter.
Jeff Feldpouch is Resource Protection Director for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska.
You're requiring subsistence harvest herring harvesters to go out and do something that no other subsistence harvester is required to do, which is discriminatory against the subsistence harvesters. And if you want to take that a step further, the subsistence report shows that most of those subsistence harvesters are Native Alaskans.
The subsistence harvest permit proposal was one of several that failed to earn committee approval last week. This is KCAW in Sitka.